Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room, for those that will be listening over the phone and also over the radio and later on the recording. Sabbath blessing, everyone, and this beautiful but cold Sabbath, November 24, 2018. This is our lesson 267, part 2 review of chapter 58, entitled Lazarus Come Forth, Part 2. Our opening hymn to our theme of study is entitled Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And if anyone of the dear family would like to join in the hymn, you can bubble up. Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's life for a look at the Savior, a life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Through death into life everlasting, He passed and we follow Him there. O'er us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Or turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
His word shall not fail you, He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, His perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And welcome to all the precious family that are coming in. Our opening in the section that we are about to have, dear ones, I would like to ask any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, or even our guests that would like to open with prayer. Bye-bye.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Sabbath to you all. Can you humble ourselves and we apostle we kneel for the opening prayers? Lord, we thank you this wonderful day that we are able to meet in this format. It's great that the internet brings us together to demonstrate how we shall be united and how we belong to one family. Lord, we thank you that you have made it possible that we can come together to learn of you. We pray that you send the power of the Holy Spirit to guide us. Touch the lips, the hearts of all those who are going to speak and listen, so that the beautiful word that fall in their hearts may find fertile soils germinate to give fruits, and the world may see what comes out of us. Lord, We are here as children. We pray for the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from all our infirmities so that we may be cleansed. We know we are close the end of times, Lord. We pray that you strengthen us. Write our names in the book of life. If they are not there, if they are there, broaden them so that when Christ comes, he finds all of us and many to praise him forever and ever. Loving Father, we thank you. We know when we call upon you, you listen. When we pray to you, you hear us and the answer. We present our petitions and you bring all those who are listening, those who would wish to listen at a later time, those on phones, those on radio. Lord, enrich them to understand you better so that we may move together for eternity. Loving Father, we thank you. We thank you so much that you have blessed us as you bless the holiday today. May all the blessings you bless all to your children rest upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, dear Brother Joel. Our opening verse to our review lessons is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 18, as a memory verse from the King James Version. And I will sing the scripture song. Come now, and let us reason together. That's what God said. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come now, and let us reason together. That's what God said. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. So what have we learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones? Before we hear your questions, your comments, and also your songs, we are going to take the time to read our last Sabbath lesson of part 2 of Lazarus Comfort in our study book, Desire of Ages.
Desire of Ages, page 525. Sorrow entered the peaceful home where Jesus had rested. Lazarus was stricken with sudden illness, and his sisters sent to the Savior, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. They saw the violence of the disease that had seized their brother, but they knew that Christ had shown himself able to heal all manners of diseases.
Desire of Ages, page 525. They believed that he would sympathize with them in their distress. Therefore, they made no urgent demand and for his immediate presence, but sent only the confined message, he whom thou lovest is sick. They thought that he would immediately respond to their message and be with them as soon as he could reach Bethany. Desire of Ages, page 525, paragraph 3.
Sabbath lesson, everyone. Anxiously, Desire of Ages, page 526. Anxiously, they waited for a word from Jesus. As long as the spark of life was yet alive in their brothers, they prayed and watched for Jesus to come. But the messenger returned without him. Yet he brought the message, this sickness is not unto death. And they clung to the hope that Lazarus would live. Next slide, please. Continuing on Desire of Ages, 526. Tenderly they tried to speak word of hope and encouragement to the almost unconscious sufferer. When Lazarus died, they were bitterly disappointed, for they felt the sustaining grace of Christ, and this kept them from reflecting any blame on the Savior. Amen. Desire of Ages, 526, paragraph 1.
Desire of Ages, page 526. When Christ heard the message, the disciples thought he received it coldly. He did not manifest the sorrow they expected him to show. Looking up to them, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." For 2 days, he remained in the place where he was. This delay was a mystery to the disciples. What a comfort his presence would be to the afflicted household, they thought. His strong affection for the family at Bethany was well known to the disciples, and they were surprised that he did not respond to the sad message, "He whom thou lovest is sick." Desire of Ages, 526, paragraph 2.
Desire of Ages, page 526. During the 2 days Christ's
seemed
to have dismissed the message from his mind, for he did not speak of Lazarus. The disciples thought of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus. They had wondered why Jesus, with the power of
to perform
wonderful miracles, had permitted John to
languish
in prison and to die a violent death. Possessing such power, why did not Christ save John's life?
Next slide.
Ewe
Samamada.
Desires of Age, page 526. This question had often been asked by the Pharisees who presented it as an argument against Christ's claim to be the Son of God. The Savior had warned his disciples to strive.
His disciples of trials.
Of trials, losses, and persecution.
Persecution
would he forsake them in trials. Some questioned if they had mistaken his
mission.
All were deeply troubled.
Amen. Good job, little ones. I think that the slide went a little bit fast. Let me just go back to see that I didn't miss no slide. Just a minute. The computer was going a little bit fast. Okay, we are okay. So let's consider this verse for our review section, taken from 1 Peter 3:15 from the King James Version. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." And with that scripture, we will ask again, dear ones, what have we learned and ways we have grown during this part 2 section of Lazarus' comfort? The mic will be open for anyone. If they have any question, little ones, mommy, daddies, or even our guests, Babula.
How come Jesus didn't go to heal Lazarus right away?
Thank you for that question, Brother Josh. The quick answer is because God did not lead Christ to go directly to heal Lazarus, but to remain where he was for two more days. And in the meantime, Lazarus had passed away, and Christ was then led by God to go and visit Bethany. And the reason was to resurrect Lazarus from the dead. And this miracle was the crowning act of Christ's mission. It was what pointed to Christ as being the Savior and the Son of God by a miracle, and thus evidence that could not be controverted by even the Pharisees. So, I mean, you know, the disciples looked at it was, well, man, if it was me, I would immediately go and take care of my friend who's sick, at least to comfort him. But Christ wasn't acting upon what other people determined to be a correct way of action. He was fully surrendered to the will of his Father, and whatever his Father led him to do, he did. So if his Father said, go forward, he went forward. If his Father said, stay here, he stayed there. But he was always active in reaching out to others and seeking to save the lost by presenting to them the truth as well as a righteous example. So that's the reason why Christ was fully committed to following the will of his Father and not his own will, even though that at times caused people to question his motives.
I'm sorry, dear ones. The weather is really cold, so the connection is kind of unstable. So if I fall out, dear ones, you can continue the review. If any one of the elders or even the brethren would like to participate in answering the questions of the family, you could bubble up.
Amen. There's a comment in the room. It says, he or Christ cannot be impulsive, swayed by emotions as we often are today. Amen. Another comment says, a greater lesson was to be wrought in his delay to come to Lazarus. Now, if you can imagine, if he would have come to Lazarus just after Lazarus had died, then people would believe that, well, you know, Lazarus was just appearing to be dead, but he really wasn't dead. And thus it was not a great miracle that proved Christ was the Messiah. It was just by chance. But with Lazarus being dead 4 days, there was no doubt that he was dead. Not playing dead. Not appearing to be dead. He was dead. And people were afraid that he would be stinking by this time because his body had seen corruption. So, it is always the wisest and the best course to follow God's leading, whether we understand all the reasons why or not. Amen. Another comment in the room says, delay is how we will be tried also, and he or Christ was showing us how to overcome impatience. Amen. And that's true. The comment in the room says, Jesus was made more dear to the family because of the resurrection of Lazarus. Amen. And another comment, it says, I am learning, I'm not quite there yet, to be anxious for nothing. If I believe that God is in control, then I should rest in faith that God knows best. And whatever we are meant to endure, it was God's plan, and that is greater than my disappointments. Day by day and moment by moment, resting in his love. Amen. And with God in control, there's nothing to fear. Nothing at all. But you're right, dear sister. One of our greatest tests is on waiting, watching, working, and looking to God for guidance. Not thinking we can do it ourselves, not becoming so anxious that we end up throwing up our hands and going forward in impatience, but waiting on God when everything around us is in turmoil. And Christ will indeed give us that internal peace that will enable us to remain immovable, waiting on the Lord. Are there any other questions, any other comments that you'd like to share, dear ones, especially from our children? Please go right ahead.
My apologies, dear ones. My computer is kind of a little bit unstable. And thank you so much for all the participation and also Elder Rob for helping. Dear ones, is there any other questions from any other family? If there is no other question, we will move along. If there are any scripture songs or hymns that you would like to share, dear ones, or even your thoughts on the reading or any other thing that you would like to ask concerning the study or any other question, Babala.
I'd just like to read a comment in the room. It says, God always has a purpose in his timings. When we ask for something, the answer will be in what will strengthen our faith the most and bring glory to God. Amen. Not so much what we hope for, but what God sees is best. And another comment that says, delay may be a better blessing. Very true. Very true. I mean, there's countless stories of individuals that wanted to be on time, but for one reason or another, they were delayed from making it to their destination at the very time they wanted to. And after they got there, or perhaps never made it there, they found out the reason for the delay is because there was an accident on the way that they would have been involved in, or there was some other catastrophe that happened to the place that they were going to attend, and if they would have gotten there on time, they would have been involved in it. So we can lay our plans. We can have an agenda already mapped out for what we're going to do throughout the day, but we have to submit it to God and allow him to rule and overrule in all our plans. And when we see God intervening and changing our plans, then we know that he really loves us, because it is for our best interest that he overrules. And what a merciful father to do that. Amen. Let patience have her perfect work in us, so that we will not lack.
Amen. And I just would like to share a little thought on the reading. Also, the Lord is so merciful that he doesn't benefit one individual. Sometimes the waiting has a lot to do with everyone that will be involved. He's always thinking about not only one, but the overall body of believers. Every decision that is made is for the benefit of a whole. And sometimes the delay, it is a blessing that will bless many for the glory of God. I just wanted to share that. Before we give the mic to our dear brother Dick for the little stories of the children, story time, there is one more comment. It says, in waiting and being patient, I am learning to be quiet and let God be God. Amen, dear sister. So, dear one, this is the section that we ask all the precious little one to come very close, because the story time and the questions that Brother Dick will be able to ask the little ones.
Boys and girls, now, while I'm reading, you put your questions in the room, and we'll see if we can get them answered. This is review day. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon you. Psalm 90, verse 17. There is a natural tendency with all to be sentimental, a person that's swayed easily by feelings, rather than practical. In view of this fact, it is important that parents, in the education of their children, should direct and train their minds to love truth, duty, and self-denial, and to possess noble independence, to choose to be right if the majority choose to be wrong. That sometimes is hard to do. If they preserve to themselves sound constitutions, that means good health, and amiable tempers, that means someone that's easy to get along with, they will possess true beauty that they can wear with a divine grace, and they will have no need to be adorned with artificials. If we have a Christian character, we will be happy in Jesus and choose to be serious about getting ready for heaven. We will have no need to be adorned with artificials, for these are always expressive of an absence of the inward adorning of true moral worth. Absence means it's not there. You look at the actors and the actresses in Hollywood or on TV. They have no true moral worth. They'll do anything. Everything they do is done for laughter and to make people praise them, not Jesus. A beautiful character is of value in the sight of God. Such beauty will attract, but not mislead. Such charms are fast colors. They never fade. Remember we talked about fast colors once before? That means their characters are not changeable. The pure religion of Jesus requires of its followers the simplicity of natural beauty, the polish of natural refinement, and elevated purity, rather than the artificial and false. There is an adornment, or something beautiful, that will never perish, that means die or disappear, that will promote the happiness of, or make happy, all around us in this life, and will shine with undiminished luster. In other words, it stays shiny, beautiful, in the immortal future, that is in heaven. It is the adorning of a meek and lowly spirit, of little things, of how little value are good gold and pearls or costly array or expensive clothes in comparison with the loveliness of Christ. Natural loveliness consists in symmetry, beauty of form, or the harmonious development, harmonious proportion of parts, each with the other. But spiritual loveliness consists in, or is made up of, the harmony of likeness of our souls to Jesus. We want our souls to be lovely like Jesus. This will make its possessors more precious than fine gold, even the golden wedge of Ophir. That's supposed to be the finest gold in the world. And by the way, Ophir was a city at the mouth of the Amazon River in Brazil, South America. They've since changed the name. The grace of Christ is indeed a priceless adornment. It elevates or raises and ennobles its possessor. It makes them children of the King and reflects beams of glory upon others, attracting them also to the source of light and blessing. Sons and Daughters of God, page 84. And that verse again is, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. God's beauty is his character. That's Psalm 90, verse 17. Now, were there any questions? Let me check the place here and see. Let's see. Well, I don't see any, so I must have answered them. Is that the way we look at it? Thank you for listening, and come again next week.
Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Dick. Well, dear little ones, we and family, we have come to the ending of our review. Next week, we will continue with part 3 of our lesson entitled Lazarus Come Forth in our study book, The Sign of Ages. If any one of the dear family would like to close with prayer, Babala.
If we could all kneel and bow our heads and our hearts. Our Father, we thank you for in the spirit to have this blessed day. We thank you for in the spirit to wake us up this morning. We thank you for in the spirit to have another blessed day. Forgive us all for our sins, our iniquities, and our Christ-like spirit. Forgive us if we've done anything wrong your sight with heaven knowing. I pray that you may be with us wherever we go and whatever we do. Let us be very grateful for everything that you taught us and everything that you've given us. We pray that you may be able to let us be strong and be brave and be of good courage. Let us be courageous and unselfish, noble, honest, and full of integrity and any character trait that is of thee and of the world. We pray that you may be able to let us keep in mind everything that you taught us and everything that you've given us. Let us be able to keep on being strong and being brave. Let us be able to keep on having and being in our minds. Let us be able to always remember what to do is right. I also pray that you may be able to let us be strong and let us avoid all the temptations that the devil may use against us. Be with us as we continue in keeping ourselves holy and keep on learning things of thee and every lesson that we possibly can. Let us be always helping one another, loving one another. Let's be able to keep on helping people, especially these sinners in a sinful world, help them be able to change and even have hearts and have a chance of going into thee instead of helping themselves. We look, God, looking forward to being aligned to your promises. This is my prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I apologize, dear ones, for the fallout. Well, I hope and pray, dear ones, that everyone will bless. And maybe by next week, maybe all the little bugs in my computer may be able to allow us to have our services. So may you have a blessed and peaceful Sabbath, dear ones, and God bless.